I know we just have a couple of minutes here together this morning, but I had the privilege of spending a good part of this last week in prayer at the Association's Prayer Summit, 75 pastors praying, and wasn't expecting really to preach this morning, but there was some changes in the schedule, and so here I am, and I just wanted to share one verse with you. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, and if you'd like to just stand with me, we love to stand. We read God's Word, Philippians 4, 9. What a great verse. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Lord God, help us to do more than just talking, but to actually living what we believe. I thank you for the evidences of that today as we heard about an orphanage in Kenya, as we heard about shoeboxes going around the world, as we heard about young people coming to Christ, as we heard about people in Morocco being touched with the love of Christ. Lord, help us to understand what it means to really live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So I'm just going to share a couple of thoughts here. How do we walk the talk? How do we practice what we preach? How do we live what we believe? I know tomorrow some of your kids are going to put on costumes. The two most popular that I would recommend are Angry Bird and Captain America. So, Lyle, which one is it? You're going to be Angry Bird? Oh, Captain America. Okay, I can't wait to see it. Fran, take a picture. I'd like to see that. Maybe not, actually. Okay, so we put on the costume of Christianity. We put the mask of Christianity on. Is that all it is? Christianity cannot be separated from our behavior, our family life, or our daily choices. You cannot do it. If you attempt to put Christianity separate in a little box, compartment, you have not understood Christianity. Christianity is a life. John R.W. Stott said this, "Hypocrisy is hideous. What cancer is to the body, hypocrisy is to the church. It is a killing agent. Unfortunately, hypocrisy is also addictive." Now watch this. "Even though Jesus reserved his most severe words of condemnation for the hypocrite, we still seem to prefer that lifestyle to truth and authenticity." One of our core value descriptions is to live an authentic community. That's why we have life groups. You talk about the application of Scripture. You talk about how to live it. Last Sunday night in our group, a question was asked, is it okay ever to lie? Sometimes lying seems to be the better choice. And so as a group, we discussed and processed the importance of being people of truth. And that's what should happen in life groups. That's what should happen in your homes. That's what happen in your friendships. That's what happen when you're sitting down with coffee with one another, is how are you doing living the Christian life? And bring up those hard questions with each other. So here's a couple of thoughts. When you're going to walk the talk, you've got to be thinking constantly application. That's what Paul says. The things that you learn from me. So when you read the Bible, and I hope all of you are reading the God's Word every day, but when you're reading it or when you're listening to it, you need to be thinking, okay, what kind of decisions do I need to make because of this? In fact, this word, learn from me, in this verse, is actually from the word we get, disciple. So what it means is that when you're hearing God's Word, you are a disciple. We as a church are making disciples. And a disciple is somebody who has taken a mindset that they're going to apply what God's Word has said to them. They are going to do it with such commitment. They are going to make a decision, not just to hear words, but they're making a decision to live what they hear, to have their lives be transformed by God, to change what needs to be changed. 2 Timothy 3:10. "Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance." Paul's saying, this is what the Christian life looks like. You're going to hear some words, but it's going to impact your conduct, your way that you do life. 2 Timothy 2:2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And it's like, it's not just passing on information. It's finding people that have allowed God's word to change their lives, and then they can turn around and see God's word change other lives. A.W. Tozer said this, "Truth is just truth. It never has to worry about its image. Truth never worries about the effect it will have, about who is going to hate it or who's going to accept it or what there is to lose and what there is to gain. You present truth and you let truth do its job." Okay, so that's application. The second word I want you to hear is the word attitude. If we're going to walk the talk, we need to understand when he says the things you've learned, he also said the things you have received. And the word received there has the idea of an attitude of trust. It's where you welcome someone or something. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says you received the word of God, which you heard from us. You accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God. So if you're going to see this walk the talk happen, you need to have this attitude of trust toward God's word. You need to receive it and listen to it carefully and do exactly what it says because you trust these words. A new bride wanted everything to be perfect for the Thanksgiving dinner she was hosting for her in-laws. So she called the turkey hotline. I didn't know there was such a thing. A turkey hotline and said, "I bought a 12-pound bird. How long does it need to cook?" "Just a minute," said the hotline operator, paging through her reference book. "Thanks," said the bride as she hung up. Some of you didn't catch that. That's okay. The hotline operator said, "Just a minute," and then she... Okay. All right. So now, what happens in the Christian life, the Christian community, we're not really listening. This is God's word. We think we already know how to do it. We think we already know how to live it. And so we act like we're experts when we have so much to learn. There was a story I want to share with you on Friday. I got a call on my cell phone. So, it was my day off, but I did not recognize the number. So I answered it. And this lady starts going on. She goes, "I'm at the mechanic. The car has all kinds of problems, according to the mechanic, da, 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 on and on and on and on." And I'm trying to tell her, I don't know who you are, but she's telling me all about what the mechanic said. And then she says, "What should I do?" Okay, she's assuming she's talking to somebody that knows something about mechanics. And I kind of had a just decision moment there. Okay, should I pretend and say, "Yeah, go ahead, fix everything"? But I knew in my heart, I had no idea what I was talking about. I had no idea who this lady was. I had no idea what she was describing. And so I had to admit, "You have the wrong number. I don't know who you are, and I don't know anything about cars. You need to call somebody who knows." But what happens when we read God's word, sometimes we're, "Well, I know all a bit about this. I know what I'm doing." But we have so much to learn. And so 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, "You receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more." And so God says, I want you to learn how to do this. And I'm going to give you some information of how to walk. And so when you're reading God's word and when you come to church and when you're in a life group, you're thinking, "I want to learn how to do the walk. I don't want to just learn about more information. I want to learn how to live." John 1:12 says, this is a description of Christianity, "For as many as received him," that's Jesus. And the word "receive" there, it's not about just praying a prayer, that might be part of it. But what it means is that I'm going to trust and surrender my life into the hands of Christ. And I'm going to let Christ transform me. I'm going to trust in his word in such a way that I'm not going to be doing my way anymore. I want to do his way. The third word I want you to hear on this verse is the word acceptance. And all these words overlap, but when Paul describes this thing he's wanting to have happen in their lives, he said, now you not only have heard, me talking, but you've heard the word of God. So this word heard is a very interesting word. In the Bible, whenever in the Old Testament you're reading, if it says that somebody heard, the Hebrew word always means obey. If you heard me, that means you obey me. If you heard what I said, that means you're going to do what I said. We see it even in God himself in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And you guys know this verse. My people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Can I watch this? Then, this is what God says, I will hear from heaven. And when you look at that Hebrew word for hear, it means that he will do something. It's always obedience. When you hear that word hear, it's always action. And this is a great verse for our country to meditate on. And we need to pray for our nation to do this. Deuteronomy 12:28. Be careful to listen to all these words which I command you. And then it's kind of an implication here. For if you've listened, if you've heard, you will be doing what is good. If you really hear, you will obey. That's what acceptance is all about. You actually let God change your life. And you're willing for him to do that. You're willing for him to empower you and to help you. You're not going to play games. You're not going to pretend. You're not going to go through the motions anymore. Tony Evans tells a story. It's like the man who hit another man's parked car. The offender got out of his car, began to write a note. The note said, everybody looking at me right now thinks I'm leaving my name, address, and phone number. I'm not. Good luck. Puts the note on the windshield wiper. That's what a lot of Christians do, way more than we're willing to admit. I want everybody to know that I'm a good Christian and I look good and everything, but I'm really not. I'm not into that, but I want people to think that I am. So one last thought is we need to be alert to good examples. If you want to walk the talk, you need to realize that you have people around you that are going to influence you either for bad or for good. If you really are serious about walking the talk, you need to surround yourself with people, Paul says in this verse, and seen in me. In other words, when they hung out with Paul, they saw Christianity in action. And so Philippians 3:17, he says, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. So we as Christ followers should be rubbing off on each other in such a way that if we're confused at all, if we're hesitant at all, if we're not sure about how to live out the Christian life, we should be so exposed to other Christ followers who are living the Christian life. We go, okay, tell me, how do you do it? And we should be asking each other the hard questions. You get tempted with certain things. You deal with this kind of a problem. You have an anger issue. You have an application of how to have a Christian marriage. And how do you relate to your wife? How do you relate to your husband? How do you relate to your kids? And we should be talking to each other in such a way and watching each other in such a way that in a group life or in a life context, we are helping each other live out the Christian life. So what does he say at the end of this verse? Philippians 4:9. Practice these things. And he uses a word that means, Dr. Gene Beretta's practicing medicine. What does that mean? I don't know. What does that mean? My son is a lawyer. He's practicing law. What does that mean? It means you're going to get it right one of these days? I don't know. What's it mean when you practice, you know? What it means when they say they're practicing law or they're practicing medicine is that they've received the training and what they are doing is consistent with the training. Okay? So now for the Christian, we should be practicing Christianity. Not that we're trying to, you know, somehow guess at it. What we're doing is we've received his word, we've received his son, we've received his spirit, and we have taken it seriously, and then now we're going to put it into practice. So I asked my son, Jared, who's an amazing golfer, Jared, give me the secret. How can I play better? And he says, Dad, you need to practice. But I don't want to do that. I want to just get better. Well, you just need to practice. And I would say to all of you in the Christian life, how do you get better? You practice. Now, that doesn't mean you're shooting in the dark. What you're doing is you're taking the word of God and you're finding ways to put it into action. And then it says the God of peace will be with you. One of the amazing things that happened at our prayer summit I was at, and I want to close with this story, is one of the pastors of our association, there's 350 churches in our association, the Conservative Baptist Northwest Association, and he's a pastor in Canby, Oregon, Pastor Lee. And his wife, Debbie, died in her sleep about 10 days ago. She is 58 years old, some kind of a heart defect, heart problem. She wasn't feeling good, went to bed and did not wake up. She woke up in heaven. And so he's 58 years old, and he wakes up and his wife is dead there in the bed. And he came to the prayer summit. The funeral, the memorial service was on Monday, and he arrived on Tuesday down where we were at in Tadmor, which is outside of Lebanon. Pastors deal with real problems, too. And here's a bunch of 75 pastors. And, OK, are we going to give them all the cliches, all the things? How do you handle death? How do you handle problems? We've done the lessons. We've done we've done it ourselves. We've helped other people with funerals. And so here's three things to make you feel better and go home and be blessed. But that's not what happened. We saw a lot of weeping. And he came to the center of the circle and his whole body was heaving with sorrow for the loss of his wife. And he was being very real. And so a whole bunch of pastors prayed over him and loved on him and gave him words of comfort. And there was an amazing moment. Remember what verse 9 ends with? And the God of peace will be with you. When you really take this serious, God shows up. Okay. Instantaneously, at the end of the prayer time, the 75 pastors around this man who's grieving broke out into a cappella, "It Is Well With My Soul." And you knew it wasn't just words, it was what they all believed. So I challenge you today, are you ready to walk the talk? This is not a game. This is not pretending. This is not looking good for the neighbors. This is living out what you believe. And you do it by having a committed disciple mentality. You are a disciple. You are committed to applying what the master is teaching you. You have an attitude of trust. You're going to trust what you hear and receive in such a way that you're going to take it into your life. You're going to have an acceptance, not only of the word of God, but of Christ himself as truth. And you're going to be alert to the good examples around you. Lord God, help us to be men and women that are living what we believe. This world is hungry to see the real deal. We are done with pretending. We're done with going through the motions. We take the mask off. We step into authentic community. And we know that we're safe there. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. The Holy Spirit empowers us to help us do what we cannot do on our own. And we as the body of Christ will be there for each other. Lord, that is my prayer. When we're struggling, we'd be there to pick each other up. We'd be such a powerful influence of love for one another that we will indeed be Christ-like. In Jesus' name we pray.